Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is a WEEI special broadcast. It's the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation.
We're in the best place of the world, but it's people that make that happen, and they need support. And we couldn't be fighting this battle without the Jimmy Fund Clinic.
Today on Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier, Gary Tangway.
Hey guys, Gare Bear here, coming from the hallowed halls of Dana-Farber, the place where miracles happen.
Mookie Betts.
Great cause that very thankful to be a part of, and, you know, getting to hang around the kids and whatnot and laugh and joke and take their minds away from, you know, what's really going on.
And Celtics owner, Wick Grosbeck.
It's an amazing organization, the Jimmy Fund. We're very proud to support it at the Celtics, and I personally am proud to support.
Now, live from Fenway Park, here's Glenn Ordway, Lou Merloni, and Christian Fourier.
What's up? Oh, just breaking things.
Are you okay?
Already.
You already broke a microphone?
Already.
It's the first minute of our 8-hour, 2-day shift,
yeah,
and you've already broken a freaking microphone? What's wrong with you?
Wait, I want to make sure everyone can see the number, which is 877-738-1234.
I like it.
I want to make, or if you want to
cake
cancer.
Let's cake cancer. Yeah. You can just text 2022.
I hope we have.
You want to kick cancer's ass?
Do it.
I hope you got to text us.
Do we have that recording of Danny Picard? We got to get that ready.
Before we get going, because we got a couple of
2022.
Thank you, Danny.
I just want to say it's good to see you. We're worried that you'll be wrestling bears up in Canada or something like that. So I'm glad you're back here because we know how much you enjoy these couple of days.
I took on a couple and kicked their ass.
And every time he travels, whether it's between states or out of the country, he has some sort of weird incident. You know, at TSA or at the airport, they cavity search him. They check him. They don't trust him. He looks mischievous. He looks like he's up to no good.
I did make the mistake as I was going through the border crossing. I had my sunglasses on, and they chastised me. Can't wear sunglasses going across.
It's right. We do this in America.
In America, I can wear sunglasses.
Why are you so uptight?
So you know,
you're our friends to the north. We're not trying to build a wall.
There's no wall up there. I can tell there's no wall.
So much ground. No wall. Good. Imagine that? It'd be insane.
Beautiful up there.
So you got
plus
that
your money
good.
Goes a lot. It goes a long way. It's
Did you ever?
Yeah, I converted.
You converted?
Because I was there for too many days. I converted. Well,
that's
converted.
Good.
The money.
Oh, that's good.
If you use American dollars, they really like you. You always end up over tipping.
You overtip.
And overdo everything. Exactly. You're like, oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Is that how they do it?
That's not
is
a that Canadian accent. Like?
Oh, what yeah.
Scandinavian.
Oh, yeah.
I'm mixing it up. You miss us?
I did miss you.
We missed you.
I did miss you. So these 2 days, people know, if you've been listening, this is 18 years. We've been doing it at the station. 18 years.
You've done every single one.
No.
Except a couple in the middle.
They threw my ass out for a couple of them.
He missed a couple in the middle.
Yeah, they threw my ass out for a couple of them. But I must tell you, it's extremely rewarding. You're going to hear unbelievable stories. You're going to hear some tragic stories, some people who are really fighting to linger on, to extend their life, to try to improve their life. And you're going to hear from a lot of athletes and celebrities during the course of the next couple days, as you've heard already here today. Matter of fact, we're going to have Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez are going to be stopping by to kick our four hours off.
I think this is, I have to go back, maybe 10, 11 years for me.
You've done a lot of them.
You know, I think the first year was like a guest. I just kind of came on, did a
day
with
you. You did some of the old Big Show, you did.
Yeah, and so 10, 11 years, and you'll see it, you'll hear it in the next couple of days. It's great talking to the doctors because, you know, the money that you give, this is where you find out. When you hear a doctor say 2 or 3 years ago, there was no cure. 5 years ago, there was no cure. And what they're doing now and that money you're giving, where it goes. But to see these kids, and you guys, you've seen it, like how strong they are. Like
these,
the kids that have cancer, you would never know it. The spirits, the way they come in, the way they talk, it is amazing how strong these kids are. Now, the parents, you could tell, they're fighting, right? I mean, it's your worst nightmare. But the kids themselves, and obviously Dana-Farber plays a huge role in all this, and this is why we're here.
Yeah, the stories I love is when, patient comes in, they start telling their story, and and they go to another hospital or see another doctor, and the doctor says, listen, you know what, you have no chance, you know, I'll give you 6 months to live. They go to Dana-Farber, and next thing you know, it's 3 years later, and they're thriving.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that type of research, and it's fun also to see, like you mentioned, that the money that is actually raised from this two-day telethon, how it actually is used. You get to see it in firsthand.
You get to hear about it. Yeah.
You get to hear about it. You get to see it on TV. It's amazing. So tune in. And I feel like we should just give ourselves a goal now. We should sit here and we look at this board right now and we should figure out where do we want to be at 6 o'clock and how do we recruit all our listeners to support us and to support the Jimmy Fund. What number do you want to be at?
See, I can't even give you an educated guess right now.
$1.5 million.
I'm looking up here.
Today? In 4 hours?
Yes.
$457,494 right now. $457,494 right now. Over a million. That should be,
yeah,
we should do that easily.
I figure JD and Mookie will come in and each will donate at least $500K.
If they opt out,
we get a little extra, you know, say, hey, listen, I'll opt in if you throw $500 right over there to the Jimmy.
You know, the funny thing is he's done a few of these. He sounds like a guy who's never done one of these before.
Amazing. That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. The athletes don't come in and give up.
I will say this, because I've seen a bunch of stuff on social media, and I don't want to sugarcoat it. It's going to be difficult. There's no question about it to raise money. But for whatever you feel about anything that has transpired, the kids should not pay the price.
Nope.
The patients should not pay the price. These people who are fighting right now for their life should not pay the price. That's all I'll say about it, other than we really need your support this year. We really do. We need you to pick up that phone. We need you to get out there and do the texting and help in whatever way you can help. We're really going
to
need
it. Here's the thing. It doesn't need to be $500, you know, $1,000. It could be $50. It could be, you know what, don't go to the movies this week, Lou. Let's just, you know what, let's give our $40. Actually, to go to a movie, it's $100.
I was going
to
say.
That's one person alone.
Especially your family.
$100.
$50 is red box, isn't it now? That's what it is.
And I think that's what's important. It doesn't have to be lump sums.
Well, here's the thing.
It can be little incremental, amounts that go a long way.
You talk about the little things. Again, you can pick up your phone right now. You can text K-Cancer to 20222, and you can donate $5. $5. I mean, you think about it. Everybody out there listening.
That's a coffee.
Yeah, listening right now. You can do it just $5. It makes a difference. You know, of course, you know, we're going to hear about today donating a lot of money because they can, okay? And it's much appreciated. But $5. You just pick up that phone again, K-Cancer to 20222, and you're helping. Because that's what this is about. That's what we're doing, you know, trying to help. Everyone's been affected by cancer. I mean, is there anybody out there that hasn't, that doesn't have a loved one or someone in their family? You've seen it. You know what it's like. You know what it's like when you get that call, you know, about a loved one. So just give what you can, and much is appreciated.
So the big lug over here mentioned this to me like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Apparently he's got a poor memory. But I started this show with the two of you. It was 4 years ago, I believe.
Wow.
And I was on for two. Yeah.
Jeez, I've been dealing with you for
Seems a lot longer than that. So I was doing the show for 2 weeks, and then I got sick, and I got this crazy thing called cancer or whatever. And, of course, it took me a couple weeks to recover and get back with you guys.
Chris and I were like, oh, my God, Ben's is gone. This guy's over here passing out at the tent down at the Patriot place.
I brought this up a couple weeks ago. I mentioned to him, you know, I'm a cancer survivor. He goes, really? I said, you don't remember? He goes, no, he says, I thought you were just trying to get away from Lou and I when you left for 2 weeks.
I thought it was some sort of weird, you know, really bad case of indigestion. Like, you were down to the tent, and you had a sausage, you bit off more than you could literally chew, and Steve and Fred had to try and bring you back to life.
No, that was not it. That was not it.
Well, that's what I'm going with.
I'm sitting there, I'm going, Christian, you don't remember? I had cancer there, this huge...
You were real cryptic about, like, what was really going on.
I was not cryptic.
I had to do my own investigative reporting.
I was not cryptic. I told you exactly what it was.
All I knew was that it was a
57 Chevy. They took it right out of me.
The story we heard was something happened with Ordway. He collapsed and Smirlus gave him mouth to mouth.
No, he did not give me mouth to mouth.
No?
So, you know, every time he would sneeze, we would say, not it. Because neither one of us wanted to give him mouth to mouth.
Well, it was either Smirlus or Diossi, and someone jumped in there, and I'm not dealing with either one of them.
But he actually said it to me. He goes, I thought you were just trying to get away from Lou and I. I said, we just did 2 weeks of the freaking show. That was it. We're going to have a lot of celebrities, as I said. We're going to have a lot of patients, and we're going to have some celebrity patients. Gary Tengway will join us at 3 o'clock.
Is he a celebrity?
He's a celebrity.
We love Tengway.
We do. And he has gone through a really rough bout here. You've seen him from time to time on TV. He lost his hair. Looks to me like he's getting it back. He's going to join us at 3 o'clock. So we'll hear his entire story.
And, you know, it is amazing because he's doing it in the public eye, right? He kept working through it. Lost his hair, went on TV, and I've worked with him. It was amazing. He'd be like, you know, I got to go another round of chemo, so I won't be around for a couple of days, but I'll be back on Thursday or I'll be back on Friday. I mean, he basically would go get all his treatments, take a day or two off, try to deal with that physically, and then he was back on TV the first opportunity he could. It was amazing.
That's what you do. You keep on fighting, and that's what Gary's done, and he's doing great. And he will join us at 3 o'clock, and you will hear his entire story. And as I said, we'll be talking with patients throughout the course of the day, and you'll hear their story. You'll hear from doctors. You'll hear about where the money that you're contributing, where this money is going. Because the survival rate now for many of the cancers that we'll be talking about in the next 2 days have gone from, you know, your chances are very slim to the point right now where your survival rates are in the 90 percentile. And you'll hear a lot of that stuff during the course of today. We're going to talk
with our first guest.
And this is Cheyenne. How are you?
Hello, Cheyenne.
How are you?
Okay, hey. I'm over here. Look at me. Look at this. Hey, okay.
He's the good-looking one.
Wait, Cheyenne.
Well, you know, you
he's
the good-looking one.
Cheyenne, do you remember this big fella right here?
Remember
Cheyenne,
me?
Over here.
Yeah.
No, over here. Remember this guy right here? Because we met. Because
he was the Red Sox team.
That's this good-looking
guy.
This guy over here played for the Patriots. But we met you about 4 years ago.
Yes you did.
Yeah. You remember it?
Yeah.
Meeting these two guys?
I met my sisters too, Pookie and Siobhan.
Very good.
Yes, we remember you. You're so big now.
Cornelia.
Yeah. Chevelle Cornelia.
Yeah.
Right. You don't need to hold the mic.
So now how old are you now? Like 14, 18?
I'm 7 and I go to school still.
All right.
And
what grade are you going into?
I'm going to first grade.
Oh, try again. Second.
You
were
in second.
First grade.
Yeah.
I'm going to second grade.
Yeah. Excited.
You don't want to do the first grade over again.
Yeah.
So,
move on. It's pretty hard because I don't know which grade I am, so we're going to take it off.
Well, you look great, and you're doing well. Dana Lynn is your mom.
Yes,
nice
I am.
To see you.
Yes.
Could you give us the story here? Cheyenne, what?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I can give them.
Okay. Go ahead.
Let me start, and then maybe you can ease your way in a little bit, okay?
Okay.
So,
am I on the microphone?
Yes, you are.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Cheyenne, just interrupt. That's what I do with these guys. It works every time.
All the time. Yeah. He's a professional at it.
Yeah.
So, Cheyenne was actually diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor when she was 19 months.
And I was 2.
You're almost 2. And at the age of 2, we started treatment.
Yeah.
For 13 months. And
Mom.
She's been doing wonderfully well.
Okay, and I love your necklace.
Thank you. And she's gaining strength in her charismatic ways.
Yep.
And here we are 4 years later. And unfortunately, there was a tumor growth on the tumor that she has. So because her brain tumor is inoperable, she was periodically going for MRIs. And it was in the beginning, it was like 3 months.
Your earrings are smaller.
Okay, I can take them off. It was every 3 months and then 6 months. And then it was, I want to say February of this year, where they were like, we see something, let's keep an eye on it. And then after that, we went for another MRI, and they said, yeah, there's some growth there. So we started chemo April 17th, and we started a 10-week induction. And then we had a few weeks off, and then...
It's called multitasking right now.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Taking earrings off.
With four
you're
girls.
So, you are so, you are so calm, and you are, I mean, there's this bombs going off all over the place, and you're not distracted.
Well,
you're focused in what you're saying.
Guys!
Yes.
Hey, we are back.
So, yeah, and obviously...
Okay,
go ahead, Cheyenne, go ahead.
Okay, everyone, stop.
Yep. Okay.
So this is the thing, you give this child a mic and...
Okay.
This is what I said to my grandmother, don't fight. You boys listen to my mom. She has something to say.
Oh.
Wow. Go ahead, Mom.
Thank you.
Wow.
Your own introduction. That's good.
Guys.
Can I ask your mom a question?
Lou, stop interrupting.
Okay, okay.
Right, listen, they have a question.
You boys be quiet.
Yeah, they have a question to ask me. Can
okay.
Can you wait quietly for me?
Ready. Thank Go you. Ahead, Mom.
So,
sign off.
So we had talked to you years ago.
Yeah.
She went through all of her treatments and was actually cancer-free.
So technically,
for several years.
Cheyenne's, her tumor was stable.
Okay.
So her tumor is there and will always be there until we find a cure.
Did
and
you?
We find modern medicine that will... You know, do it. So through chemo the first time, it stabilized the tumor.
Yep.
And then we were off for the 4 years, and then they found growth.
Can I speak?
And now we started chemo again. So the
yeah, today the, is a hard day.
So so the idea is to stabilize this tumor so that way
yeah.
we won't have continued growth.
So you
while.
Never really felt like you're out of the woods. I mean, obviously now February of this year must have been another blow for you.
Absolutely.
But so it wasn't like you kind of felt like, okay, we're good now. It was a realizing that all you were really doing was stabilizing it, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So every MRI,
yeah,
before the MRI,
I hear
evening,
your mom on my headphones.
Because, you know, we don't know what the prognosis is going to be. So we go in the next morning, do our MRI, cross our fingers and toes.
How many MRIs is that?
In the very beginning, I think it's like every 3 months.
Oh.
And then as the year progresses, it's like every
okay.
6 months.
Can I speak now?
And then every
Can
year after that.
Now?
But we didn't get to that. We did every 6.
Right. Yeah.
Cheyenne, you want to speak? I know you want to speak. So I'm going to ask you a question.
Cheyenne, over here. Right
okay?
here. Right here. There
and
you go.
Your mom will not be able to answer it. Only you can answer this question. Okay?
Yeah.
So you spend time at the Jimmy Fund Clinic?
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's like different, but I
do you have a lot of fun at the Jimmy Fund
yeah,
Clinic?
I get chemo every day, and you know I don't like that.
No.
It makes me feel nauseous, and I really don't like it, so.
But you fight through it.
When we're done, we will be a good listener, and we're going to go get ice cream.
All right, well, can you bring us some, please?
There you go.
All right, well, good. But you're feeling good. So so you're happy. You're going into second grade.
Oh, yeah, totally.
She's a happy girl, for sure.
You just giving us soundbite after soundbite.
Okay, let me. So I lost my tooth. Mom flicked the bottom out, and I'm trying to get the other one out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you have a busy job tonight. Is that correct?
Yeah.
We do.
What are you going to be doing tonight before the Red Sox game?
I'm going to eat dinner.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch TV.
Yep.
And then I go to bed at...
Well, even before that, what are we doing on the baseball field? What will you be saying?
I'm going to say play ball.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Try it again. Do it. Do it. Ready?
Play ball.
That's it.
Nice. Play ball. Am I on your...
Yes.
We can hear you.
Yeah.
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 We're not going to hear anything for the next 3 hours, but we heard that.
Guys.
What?
Okay, sorry.
I never thought there would be
she
somebody
controls
that would,
the room.
Yeah, that she controls the room better than Ordway does.
Can we hire her
as
an intern?
You should try his seat
out. She's pretty good.
Yeah, she's
pretty
good.
It was great meeting you, Cheyenne.
Cheyenne.
Great meeting you, Mom.
Great seeing you again.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
Sure.
I'm going to meet the Red Sox.
You
so
are.
I will be back in time. Thanks for letting me talk.
Okay.
I tell you what. You want to do this?
There's a couple.
They're
hold on.
Right
hold
behind
on.
You.
Want to do
there's
this? A couple of them right behind
Mookie
you.
Betts, JD Martinez
there
are right
go.
Behind you. So if you go right out here, there you go.
There that's
they Mookie
are.
Betts
that's
right
nice.
There.
That's
JD awesome. Martinez.
That's
you can meet them right
Mookie
there.
Mookie Betts, JD
oh
Martinez.
Those are good players, too. Those are real good
wow.
players.
Red Sox players.
Do you see them?
All right. She wants nothing to do with us now.
Hello, guys. My name is Cheyenne.
And this is Siobhan and Chevelle.
Nice to meet you. And
you happy now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said you would be.
Okay.
Say it one more time. What are you going to shout out before the game begins tonight?
Play ball.
There you go.
All right.
It's Cheyenne.
Okay, I can't scream. Or I can't.
No, you want to scream tonight. Tonight you want to scream.
Because my mom said you're screaming like a banshee.
That's had a 7-year-old.
I do say that. I do.
Okay, bye,
Cheyenne. Cheyenne. Bye, Cheyenne.
Thank you, Cheyenne.
Take that. You take that.
We take a break. When we come back, as you just heard, Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez have walked in to our studio. We will spend some time with them. In the meantime, we need you to pick up the phone right now, 877-738-1234. You heard Cheyenne's story. Little kid here, 7 years old, going into the second grade. Inoperable tumor. She needs your help right now. 877-738-1234. Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, live at Fenway Park next.
Hi, my name is Aurora. Please help me and others fighting cancer as we raise money for the Jimmy Fund in Dana-Farber. Call 877-738-1234. Every dollar counts. That's 877-738-1234.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, this is Mookie Betts. Every dollar goes to the cancer care and research at the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber. You can pitch in today with a $10 gift by texting KCANCER to 20222.
All right, you know all the numbers. We need you to dial those numbers up, 877-738-1234. It is an unbelievable cause, and if you just heard little Cheyenne, 7 years old, and obviously...
Hurricane Cheyenne.
Yeah, she is something else, but you know what? She was loud with us, but when Mookie and JD came in, quieted right down.
She was
respectful.
Her eyes.
The mouth opened.
Up. Yeah,
she's like, yeah. Oh my God. It was like, I mean, you were old timers. She knew you played football. She thought you played football.
She
thought, and you played.
She had a switch.
Yeah,
she's like a football player, don't I?
She's like, you played for the Sox. No.
Hey guys, thanks for coming down. We really appreciate it. And you know what this is all about. You've been around the last couple of years, so you've seen it. But what is your feeling when you see a little 7-year-old kid going into the second grade? She turns around. She's talking about she's going to meet Red Sox players. She turns around, and there are two of them right there. You're just regular guys, and yet you see it in spring training with these patients. What is it like when you see them just light up?
Oh, man, to me it's like it takes me back when I was a kid, and I used to look up to these guys like that, and you kind of were so excited to see them, and then once you saw them, you didn't know what to say to them.
Right.
And I don't know, it's just – it kind of just flashes back to me. Like, it makes me feel like, dang, I remember when I was that age and I was a little kid and I was in that same situation. It just takes me back in that sense. And just kind of knowing that, for me, it's like, I don't know how things change so quickly. You know, I always looked at Major League Baseball as on a pedestal, and I always looked up to, like, oh my gosh, those guys. But we're all kind of the same. You know, we all kind of come from the same, in a sense, from being young, having dreams and aspirations to, you know, where we are now. So, I mean, obviously with her situation, you kind of, you know, you hurt for her and you kind of want to just do everything you possibly can for her. But I don't know. It's one of those things where it's kind of tough, but it's nice to see at the same time. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Who usually gets more excited, the kids or the adults?
The parents.
Probably the parents. Has there ever been a response from a kid or an adult where you said, wow, that, I didn't see that one coming? So the most part, you know, Red Sox player, you know, championship last year, very recognizable guys. I would say most kids would go nuts when they see you guys, or if they have the opportunity to meet you, shake your hand. Has there ever been a response where you're like, wow, I've never heard that before? Or seen that before? Hey, I want you to sign my...
Well, let's not go there.
I guess stay on the show. Nothing? You've probably seen it all then.
I mean, you kind of hear a lot. You know, I think you just kind of put things in perspective. You know, our bad day is not nearly what these guys are going through. And, you know, you just have to try and do what you can to put a smile on their face, and whatever they say, you know, you just roll with it. And you know, I mean, I think a lot of them actually just treat us like normal people. They just say, you know, can you sign this ball, or Hey, you know, listen to me play the guitar, or hey, I can sing this, that, and the other. And
see, that would be something that I thought would be unexpected.
Yeah.
Hey, here's my guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a harmonica, I get it, it's in your back pocket. Guitar,
I've never
you kind of
heard that one before.
Yeah.
It's my piano. It just happened to happen on my back. Yeah.
But I mean, those type of things are you know kind of great to see, just because they can be themselves and not be starstruck or anything.
Yeah, you mentioned putting things in perspective, and that's what these 2 days are. I mean, for us, we leave here, you know, after a while, and you look back at your life, and no matter what you go through, and this game is ups and downs and trying to stay even keel, whether you lose 8 straight in a stretch that you guys had or struggling at the plate. It's unfortunate, but sometimes you need things, you know, to kind of put things in perspective. I know you guys dealt with a lot in spring training as well. And it is amazing that, unfortunately, maybe we need sometimes reminders of kind of what we have in our lives.
Exactly, and that's kind of what this is. You know, I hate to say you know that type of thing, but it's just a reminder. Hey, you know, you guys' life is good, and so we have to keep that in mind and do everything we can to make their lives, you know, a good as well. And I think you know, the Red Sox and everybody, this whole foundation does a great job in putting smiles on kids' faces, for sure.
It does seem like you don't need that reminder, though, because I know you do a lot.
We do a lot, but I mean, you know, it's always good to have it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a baseball question, and I'm sure you've been asked this question a million times, but I'm wondering how much you guys talk about it. We talk every day during the course of the season. Why is this so different than what we witnessed last year, where everything, right? You're already laughing at it, JD, but everything just seemed to work out. I'm sure you guys spent a lot of time talking amongst yourself. Have you been able to come to any, I mean, it's been a good week, but have you been able to come to any type of answer as to why this is so different?
Oh, man, I don't know.
It's a different year.
For me, yeah, it's just a different year. It's, you know, everybody always wants to go back, oh, it's the same team, we're supposed to have the same results. Like, last year was special. I always say this, like, when everybody asks me how it was and I go back home and stuff like that, and I never thought I would say this about baseball, but like I felt like last year was easy. Like, and that's the last word I would ever use for a baseball season. But it just felt like everything kind of rolled our way. The ball always bounced. Someone always got a pinch hit, you know, home run. Any move Alex would make would always work out.
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed like, I mean, you look at all the special moments that happened last year. If guys throwing pinch hits, home run, pinch hit, home Brock, pinch hit, homer, Nunez in the World Series, pinch hit off Wood, homer. Like, you know what I mean? It's just so special moments. And, you know, that's hard to ride for 2 years in a row. So, you know, it's a different year. And I think this team is a good team. And I think this team could be a special, you know, you never know. Like, you just never know. We're a little back now, but you never know. There's still a lot of baseball left.
So you said it was easy this year, right? I mean, last year was easy.
Year, yeah.
So is this year hard? And do you, as it gets difficult, what's the reaction? Because you're looking at it going, man, last year everything just seemed to click. This today is a real tough day, and then you've got to deal with the next day and the next day after that, Mookie.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they just, I wouldn't say it's hard, it's just different challenges, and sometimes you're not successful. I mean, sometimes we're not getting that pinch hit hit, you know, or we're not going up and putting up zeros, or, you know, we're not playing defense at the right times. And so, I mean, it's not nothing that we can't do, it's just stuff that we just haven't put together. And, you know, it's kind of tough, especially with a target on your back. I mean, you know, we're the world champs, and so everybody that comes in is ready to play. And, you know, if we're not, one little mishap, you know, can turn into something huge. And it just seems like we've had that mishap, and it's turned into something big every time.
So Alex Cora, I think, is famous. He said it a few times, guys, consistently inconsistent. I think he's used that phrase before. Yet every week we talk to him, sometimes down here, he is consistent. He comes in, you guys lost 8 straight. He comes in shaking hands. Hey, guys, how you doing? That sort of Alex Cora is is he consistent with you, even from last year? Is it nice to have a manager that, or is he the same, I should ask first, I guess, as last year? Or are you seeing a different manager?
Nah, he's the same guy.
How much does that mean to you, that he's not riding the wave with you and kind of getting on you when it's not going well?
It means a lot. I mean, I think he's a guy that played the game. He understands it. He understands that it's not the same. It's a different year. You know, like Mookie says, different challenges. And Alex understands that because he's been around for a while. And, you know, he knows that everyone's going out there and giving it their best and doing their everything they could possibly do to, for that game that day. And, you know, if it works out, awesome. And sometimes, you know, doesn't work out. And but he's still the same person.
You know, it's you know, think about some of the issues. So, you know, I've been on teams where, you know, the offense was putting up a ton of points and the defense would go out there and they couldn't hold the lead or someone would give up an easy touchdown. And I remember there was every now and then there was some animosity and definitely frustration with the fact that as good as we were, we couldn't close out games because of one reason or another. And with you guys, as good as you guys are offensively, you know, there's always seems to be something, whether the bullpen can't keep the lead or defensive issue or whatever it is. Has there been any frustration or animosity or how tough has it been for you guys just to, I mean, still back the guys on your team and still respect them and still pull for them, even though you're, you know, it's an uphill climb for you as it is now?
Definitely no animosity. I mean, you know, it's tough. I mean, it's not like they're, you know, we go out there and try and lose. You know, it's tough. I mean, those guys get paid too, and so, you know, I have to just keep that in mind. Like, they're going out and trying to put up zeros, and we're going out and trying to score runs. Or, you know, we're going out and trying to field the ball and throw it to first or catch fly balls and whatnot. Just sometimes, you know, we're human. Sometimes we don't do it, and it just seems like this year we haven't done it a lot more than last, and we haven't found ways to kind of bounce back. I think once one thing happens, it kind of snowballs, and then everything kind of falls apart.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, there obviously no animosity, frustration, I would say, yeah, because, you know, we're all competitors and everybody wants to win, but I don't think anyone else is blaming some other person or someone else. You know, everybody's going out there and doing their best. It's not like guys are messing around and going out there and trying to, you know, not caring. Like, I feel like everyone cares.
When you guys heard that Chris Sale was out for the season, I mean, is that just a kick to the gut, knowing that one of your best players is gone for the rest of the year?
You know, it definitely hurts.
You know, I mean, you know, it's just the only thing you can really think now is who's the next guy up. Yeah. I mean, we can't sit here and harp on it. You know, we have to kind of turn the page and move forward and hope everything's fine with him. And, you know, he gets back out there to play here soon or whenever his timetable is up. But right now we just have to kind of stay focused on the task at hand, and that's today.
So I got to ask you guys both about Devers because, I mean, it's amazing. It was like 1st of May, you know, in April, I don't think he hit a home run, and he was hitting 250, 260. Then since the 1st of May, it has been a show. Even when he gets out, it is just hard contact. I was almost like there was no transition year. You know what I mean? There was no good year. Oh, my God, he's going to be special. It just happened like that. You know, what have you seen from this kid? Because it's been awesome to watch.
Yeah, you know, I think he's matured, number one, at the plate. And, you know, the way he's viewing pitchers. And he's a lot more aware of what guys are trying to do to him than – you know, previous years where he would kind of just go up there and swing at everything. I mean, he kind of still does, but I think it's a little bit more controlled now. I think he has worked a lot on his direction and his swing and trying to clean a lot of things up. And to me, it's made a world of a difference. You know, the kid's a very talented hitter, a very talented player. You see it all the time in these sudden spurts, moments, you know, that he has. But I think now as he's, you know, getting a little older, he's starting to channel it in and understand what he has to do and how he has to prepare and where his swing has to be before every game and, you know, stuff like that. And he works hard. You know, he honestly does. He works hard in the cage, on the field, in the gym. He's a young kid and, you know, he kind of looks like he's out there. Yeah. You kind of don't even really know what he's doing, but he really has an idea of what he's doing out there, and I think he's been doing a really good job for us.
I like the big deep breath he does now. I think he kind of took that from you maybe a few months back because he started doing that.
Meditation,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Big deep breath. Yeah. We had a combo about that at the beginning because he would get all worked up about it, and I was like, just relax. I was like, you have to settle yourself down because you get a couple strikes on you and you want to, like, your heart rate starts going up and you want to panic and you're like, you don't want to strike out. Like, relax. You strike out. It's okay. You know?
Yeah.
You're going to strike out a lot more times. You know, just try to control it. Try to channel it and calm yourself. at your moments when you're when you feel like yourself is getting out of control?
I think it's interesting. You guys, your job is to go up there and get your four or five at-bats every night and try to score enough runs to win a baseball game. Our job is to sit around and talk about the team now, the team with the future, and, of course, there are opt-outs and there are contracts and everything else. And every time this seems to come up, no matter how harmless a line might be. Alex Speer's book is out right now. I don't know if you've even seen it, Mookie, but there's apparently a portion of it where he talks about you and he talks about, you know, trying to acclimate yourself with the roster, and you were having some difficulty doing it early on. Obviously, your first year. Obviously, it's a lot different. That suddenly sparks conversation, and this is what we do every day. This is our job, like you have your job. We're sitting there going, oh, my God, does that mean Mookie wants out? Does it? Now, I know that both of you, well, you have a little bit more control, I think, than you do, but you don't have total control over where you're going with your career. But do you get sick of it? That the fans talk about it, the media talks about it. The people don't necessarily know enough about you, Mookie, to know whether you like Boston or not. I've heard that. I don't know. Does Mookie like Boston? And then you answer the question and go, no, I like Boston. I like. It's almost like they don't believe.
Yeah, but I don't believe.
I don't believe them.
Yeah. you hear the way he said it?
I don't know.
So I'm wondering, does this stuff drive you crazy? And how can you answer that question and basically calm everybody down? Or I don't think you can you? Because of the uncertainty.
I mean, no matter what I say, they're gonna, you know, people are gonna have their opinions, and there's nothing you can do about that. But I've, you know, made it known. This is my second home. You know, I've been here. This is all I know. You know, I love to hear, and I love the fans, the everybody, my teammates. You know, the front office, everybody here. But you know, that doesn't change the business of baseball, and you know, kind of what value is there. And you know, I don't want to go down that path. But I mean, just for people who don't think I enjoy it here, I love it here. This is you know, I come here in the wintertime just to come hang out with friends and whatnot. My family loves coming up here and going to do things. So it's not that I don't like Boston at all.
Are you sort of anticipating, because I think the discussion goes to free agent, you know, you've handled in the past, you've gone to arbitration, that this offseason is kind of a crossroads, even though you have a year left where it's, do they really want to wait and risk him leaving? Do they need an extension this year? If not, do they trade him? I mean, these are the sort of things that are kind of floating out there. Do you feel like this offseason is important about your future in Boston?
I mean, you know, that's for you know, the front office and those guys to decide. You know, right now I got one more year here, you know, and I'm going to enjoy it the same way I've enjoyed my past years here. And so, you know, that's not something that I don't even focus on. You know, I just know that right now I'm still a Red Sox, and you know, I'm happy with it.
So, JD, do you get people sitting there going, hey, you're going to opt out? You're going to leave us? You're going to...
Yeah. And do they say it like that?
hey, JD. In a way.
Do you like
that? At the pizza shop down the street or what, while you're in line?
Nah, they hit you up. They ask you, like, so you're going to stay here next year? What you going to opt out? And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just worried about right now. That's the last thing I'm thinking about. You know, when the media asked me, I always tell them, I said, you know Scott Boris? I said, call him up. You know, he's the guy that's going to help me with that decision.
He's not responding to
you
that.
You know, so, I let him worry about that stuff.
Is there, I don't know if you guys care about this or if it's even a big deal. I just, you know, look at some of these other teams and the stadiums that they play in and the fact that nobody goes to the games. And, I mean, it's got to make you feel good, I'm assuming. Like, when you guys play here, people are in the stands. People are cheering you on. I mean, you see some of these other cities,
yeah, JD,
Miami.
I'm sure you've seen it.
It's
different ballparks.
It's got to dry. I feel like that's got to be worth something.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. You know, I was in Houston when Houston was bad, and there was probably, I think, 10,000 people in the stands, it felt like.
Yeah.
Then I went to Detroit, and they were good, and they'd be sold out every night. It'd be a Tuesday day game, and people are there. People don't work. I don't know. They love it. And then I go to Arizona, and it's the same thing as it was in Houston. You know, winning team, but the fans just aren't there. And then you kind of come here, and it's sold out every night. Yeah. So, there's definitely something to it. It's exciting. You know, I always say, like, last year, my first year here, it's like it's August. You're tired, but the fans are still they're still in it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gives you that energy, you know, that that, like, dang, there's a lot of energy in the stadium.
You have a reason to go to work. Yeah. And
it's like, yeah, it's, you feel the energy.
Yeah. It's like legal greenies back when I was playing. You know what I mean? It's like you get that energy. We used to do it differently.
So they got through August and September. That was it.
I think it would, like, drive you. You come out of the dugout, and there's just nobody there. Like,
it's tough. It's
like,
tough.
How do you
it
get
is
excited
well,
to
Tampa,
go to work?
Tampa's a great example. Good yeah team. And nothing every night is what, 12,000? Well,
they cheer for the Red Sox.
They cheer for the Red Sox.
More Red Sox fans than there are.
It's a lot more, you have to have a lot more self-drive in those situations. Yeah. You know, I had to deal with it in Arizona last year. It was kind of the same, not last year, in 17. Same situation. You know, it's September. We're in the wild card, and we're still getting 12,000, 13,000. It felt like at a game, and it's one of those things where you kind of have to pump yourself up. Where here, you come out here, and it's just like, dang, let's go. You know, the fan, everyone's ready. Everyone's, you know, especially when the Yankees come in town, it feels like a playoff game.
Yeah.
So it's definitely special. There's something to it, like you said. It's nice. You know, it's nice to play in front of fans that are so passionate.
Yeah.
The same way that I am about the game. You know, but at the same time, it's tough. There's a plus and a minus, too, about it, because if you're not playing good, they're going to let you know.
Yeah.
And they're going to sit there, and they're going to bash you, and they're going to talk about you. And I remember last year I got booed because I tried to steal second base. I got thrown out. I got the steal sign. I got booed as I was coming in the dugout. And I was like, dude, we're like 15 games in first place right now. I'm getting booed. Right? And that's how they are. You know, they love their sports, and, you know, there's a positive and a negative to it.
I would think those Rays players could walk the streets of Tampa, and at times nobody knows who they are.
100%.
You guys walk into a restaurant, and it's like, hey, you were one for five the last dinner, right? Yeah. That's what you hear.
All your stats.
They run it down. Hey, guys, we really appreciate you coming down, obviously, and helping out the Jimmy Fund and meeting some of the kids. This was really cool for them, and we really appreciate it. JD Martinez, Mookie Betts, thank you. Continued success for the rest of the year, okay? All right, fellas. We're going to take a break, but we need you to pick up the phones right now. 877-738-1234. 738-1234. 877 live from Fenway Park. This is the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fun Radio Telethon. It's all presented by Arbella Insurance. Thanks, Mookie.
At 2:30, it's the Boston Coaches Roundtable with Red Sox manager Alex Cora, Celtics head coach Brad Stevens, Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy, and Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Don't miss the Coaches Roundtable segment, all to raise money for the Jimmy Fund. Tomorrow at 2:30, you're listening to the 18th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Please help us strike out cancer.
Please help WEEI and Nesson strike out cancer. Please call 877-738-1234 to make a gift.
Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier and the 18th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
All right, back over here at Fenway Park. It's all presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation, and this is the 18th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. By the way, right now we've got the President's Circle You can commit $1,500 gift to Dana-Farber, and you become one of the President's Circle members. Help us reach our goal of 25 President's Circle members by the end of the show. Coming up in just a few minutes, our buddy Gary Tengway, who has faced a battle here of his own, will join us here at Fenway Park. But let's meet Kevin Chouinard. Is that how you get there,
yeah,
right?
That's correct.
And he's from Ellington, Connecticut. Now, you were diagnosed in April of 2016, stage 4 pancreatic cancer. You were originally given like 6 to 9 months to live.
That's correct.
It is 2019.
Yes.
We are more than halfway through. And you're here, and you look pretty damn good, Kevin.
We're feeling pretty good, too. Thank
good.
You very much.
So what have you gone through?
Well, we've been through an awful lot. This is my wife, Jody.
Hi, Jody.
Kevin, I thought Jody was hiding out outside.
She wanted to.
Yeah.
Kevin, just give us a story about, because I think this is a remarkable story. It really is. This is the one that I was hoping I can get to talk to you just so I could hear it from you as far as what happened when you were originally diagnosed and then moving forward from there once you finally got a new doctor.
Well, you know, our journey started, and, you know, I was feeling some intestinal pain, back pain, and we had recently had our kids go off to college. They were freshmen in college, and so we started going to the gym. You know, we're empty nesters now, and so I just figured the pain was a result of all this heavy lifting that I was all of a sudden doing for the first time in my life. And but it was so severe that I was asked to talk to our primary physician, who had us had me go into a walk-in center that had scanning capabilities or CAT scan capabilities. And I've never been in a hospital before this point, never had an injury to this point, I could just see the look on his face that there was something not right with our situation. We had a couple of diagnoses in the Connecticut area, which prompted our visit to Dana-Farber, which came highly recommended from those that were very close to us. It was pretty daunting just what we were facing. I can tell you that without my wife, you know, there would be times where doctors, physicians, specialists would be talking to me, and I'm glazed over because of what you're hearing. And without my Jody became my eyes and my ears. It was just it's surreal. It's surreal to be here after all this time, especially after the diagnosis that we received. So we met at Dana-Farber, and we were incredibly stunned walking in, as anybody is coming in now. And we see those types of people with every visit, that you walk in and you are just overwhelmed because of, you know, the news that you have, that you're trying to deal with, and what you're going to be finding out very shortly from your specialists. And even to this day, when we go in for scans or when we have appointments, follow-up appointments with our oncologists, we see new people coming in, and we are pretty much the first people there to just direct them, show where to go, who to see, who to talk to, because it's just so overwhelming, especially with two older kids in college. And, you know, here we're thinking we're starting our free life without kids and
home alone.
So, Kevin, what the treatments, right? Was it a clinical trial for a couple of years? Because, I mean, obviously, pancreatic cancer, stage 4.
Right.
6 to 9 months. You're here now.
Right.
What was it? What worked?
We started with Dr. Thomas Abrams was my oncologist, and he was exactly what we needed. He was just...
he gave us hope.
Yeah,
I think
he
that
did.
Dana-Farber, compared to other places that we had gone to, Dana-Farber was the only place that we really felt like it was hopeful that, you know, there was going to be something beyond 6 to 9 months. And, you know, I mean, treatment was difficult. He was doing a regimen that was 2-day chemo treatment.
And that was FOLFIRINOX. So we started on a chemotherapy a regimen, and it was pretty
aggressive.
Aggressive.
And, you know, I think kind of our magic began really. Kevin was having a very, very difficult time tolerating the treatments, and we were going to, you know, say uncle, that it was just time to, you know, find a little peace. And you know, Dr. Abrams said, you know, let me just tweak the chemotherapy just a little bit. Give me one more shot to see, you know, if you feel any better, because he was just constantly nauseous, vomiting, fatigue. And, you know, in all honesty, Kevin was the one that said, you know, we'll try it one more time. And we did. And in that 2-week period of time, he felt a little bit better, like a little teeny bit better. And that's what, so we went back in 2 more weeks and he did another round, and that was the turn of our story. And I just think that that's what makes Dana-Farber so special, is that there is that personalized treatment, that personalized attention, and you know, it saved Kevin's life.
Well, you mentioned it, and coming into Dana-Farber, and we hear it from a lot of people, is they try one thing, and if that's not working, well, we're going to tweak it. We're going to try something different.
Right.
And then we're going to try something completely different. And as you know, pancreatic cancer is one of, we mentioned this earlier, there, hopefully there are a lot of cancers right now that are almost being treated like it's the flu or the cold.
Sure.
Mainly because they've done unbelievable work through research here. This is still one that is very difficult, as you know. And so they're still going through the experimental position of trying one to the next. And hopefully if these people ring the phones up right now and we can continue to raise more and more money, they're going to come with a complete cure for pancreatic cancer.
We speak a great deal to the marvelous work that's being done at Dana-Farber, and just the attitude alone for us, for me, because we were pretty much at our end, and quality of life was terrible, but there was still that fight, you know, and I hate to use that term, but there was still that willingness to press forward, try anything that Doc had to offer, and it worked. I mean, I have I'm just happy to be
here. But you have to fight. See, you have to fight, and they give you hope so that you can fight. And that's the difference, I think, in this place. And I'm not trying to disparage any of the other you know, clinics and hospitals out there, but with the technology that's done locally and the stuff that is done, it's amazing. We wish you, it's good.
I just told Doc, keep the roll going.
Keep it going. Keep it going. You got it. Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing your story.
Thanks, Jody.
We appreciate it. Jody, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So you've heard Kevin's story. Unbelievable. And it is one of the tough ones right now. Pancreatic cancer. We need the money. We need the money for the research. 877-738-1234. Please. We are right now at 496,000. You could put us over the 500,000 mark right now in the next few minutes. So please light up that Arbella tote board right now. Coming up next, we'll meet some more patients, and one patient who's a friend of ours, Gary Tangway, will join us as well, live from Fenway Park. This is the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, and of course, it's always presented by the good people at the Arbella Insurance Foundation.
Coming up next, Gary Tangway joins the show to talk about his bout with cancer.
But I wanted to share some personal news of my own with you, that I've been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I'm under great care at Brigham and Women's and also Dana-Farber, and my cancer is treatable, so I consider myself to be very, very lucky.
You're listening to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.